on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How are you? We're back for another episode of the YokeCast podcast. We keep plugging right along here on the YokeCast podcast and through the season as, you look at this time of year, and we've got softball that'll be firing up here very, very shortly. We've got swimming and diving that keeps ramping up its season. They're kind of in the stretch run. Basketball's in the stretch run here as we turn the calendar to February coming up this weekend, and then indoor track and field. And I know it, you don't think about it because the track and field season goes until like May, June, you know, and it extends, but it's really two seasons, indoor and outdoor. So they're in the stretch run kind of for indoor, and we'll see how things play out. But obviously we've seen a great deal of success out of the track and field team up to this point. The swimming and diving team this week said goodbye to the Dakota Dome Pool for the second straight season. Hopefully this one is the final farewell to the Dome Pool. That Wellness Center pool expected to be completed here in a couple of months, so we'll cross our fingers that all is good there, and hopefully they can press on with all of that. But we had a chance to catch up with a swimmer who's a senior at South Dakota, Skyler Leverance, and she is an athlete who's competed here, and she has also been involved in the game day operation. So you've probably seen her, whether you know her name and could put the name to a face. Maybe you can after this conversation, but she's around on game days and all of that stuff for home stuff, and has been really involved in athletics marketing at South Dakota. I also had a chance this week to catch up with Gabby Wilkie, a freshman basketball player recruited by Kayla Carius, of course, but decided to stick it out and still remain committed to South Dakota, and now playing several minutes as a freshman. And we had a chance to chat about her journey and just kind of that adjustment into college basketball. So both of those conversations are in the show today. Let's get it started with Skyler Leverance. She is from Lakeville, Minnesota, and a swimmer for South Dakota. Skyler, the swim season kind of getting back into the flow of it here a little bit, and really a surge over the next month or two. Yeah. Of the swim season. How have things gone for you this year?
Pretty good. I think it's been a challenging season, not being in the new pool. But I think it's been an exciting season, being my last year. It's been a lot of successes for our team, and it's a start of a new era for the swim team. So it's been really fun to be a part of.
You mentioned the new pool, and I know that for a lot of you seniors, the goal was that that thing would be done for your senior year. And unfortunately, due to some delays, it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Disappointing for people like you.
Yeah.
But how exciting is that for the program in general, and what can it do for the program?
It's crazy. It's like I said, it's the start of a new era for the swim team. This is kind of a rebuilding for them. This is going to change recruiting practices, the strength really of the team. So it's going to be a really exciting chapter for the swim team. Obviously, I won't be a part of it, but I mean, I'm going to be training in off season, and I'll get to see it and experience it. And it's going to be awesome for people to want to come back to see it. So I think it's going to draw in new audiences to swimming.
How did the team take that news when you found out that you weren't going to be able to compete in it like you had hoped? And, obviously things happen in life. You just got to swallow it and move on.
Yeah. It was a very quiet Zoom call. It was, I've got some news for you guys. And we all just, ooh. And we kind of figured it would happen because of all the flooding that happened in Vernon this summer. So it wasn't really shocking, but it was like very disappointing. But we've swam in the dome our whole career. So it wasn't like, oh, we can't do this, or like, I don't want to do this anymore. It was just like okay, well, we're going to have to grit it out for this season.
Coming off of a couple of home duels this past weekend, and as they say, said goodbye to the Dakota Dome Pool, and we did that a year ago, so hopefully this is the last time. But even though not part of the team that'll move into the new pool, a team that says goodbye to the old pool, mm-hmm. kind of an end of the era, what's that like being a part of something like that?
It's a little bit emotional. It was kind of funny. We said it was the second annual last meet in the Dome. Hopefully there's no third. but it's emotional. It's fun to be a part of that legacy. Like, we're the group that got to be the last meet in the Dome twice. So it's fun to be a part of that.
What has your swim career been like? You've been involved. I mean, obviously you do some individual things, but you've been a lot involved in a lot of winning relay teams. How would you describe your collegiate swim career?
Exciting. Like, I think we're the first team ever to beat Denver, and being a part of that relay the year after I transferred was so cool. I think it's just something that you can't really put words to. It's like exciting, it's emotional, it's a little bit scary because it's like, ah, what did we just do? But because then it kind of add the expectations of like, okay, if we did it once, we can do it again, and we should do it for all of our relays. But I think I've had a lot of highs and lows in my college career. I've been kind of all over the board, but I'm really happy how it ended up, and it's always worked out.
You compete on relays, you compete individually. Do you prefer one over the other? I mean, you look at it individually, you don't have the pressure of everyone else that you might let down if something goes wrong. But with a team, obviously, you can help make up for a group of things.
Mm-hmm. I love relays. I think it's so fun. It brings like a whole different energy. Everybody always swims faster on a relay. You're just excited. You're hyped up. You want to swim for the team. And you're really racing another team. Individually, it's like, yeah, I can't let anyone else down, but you can let yourself down. Or, like, you still have to compete for the team when you're competing individually with all the points and the coaches. And so I think they're both fun, but relays are just so much more fun.
What's your favorite relay?
I'd say probably the 200 free relay. We also know 50. It's so fast. And, like, at conference, it's just electric. Like, the whole place is just screaming. And 1/100th of a second makes a difference.
People who have, I know some people have experienced swim meets at maybe different levels. Mm-hmm. A collegiate swim meet, conference championship. Mm-hmm. Describe that atmosphere.
It's like the second you step into the building, you could like, it's not tension, but it's tension. It's like there's excitement, there's nerves, there's screaming. Club meets and high school meets, like they're long. Everybody's sitting down. Conference, nobody's sitting down, everybody's standing, the fans are cheering, we're cheering. It's just like, you can like feel it tingle. It's like, it's a different kind of atmosphere.
When you're swimming, you know, your head's turning side to side, your arms are flying, everything. Do you hear all that noise? I mean, with the water floating around, or how much do you realize the environment, or is it more you understand the environment when you're cheering on somebody else?
This is actually an interesting question, because for like an individual event, and I'm like breathing to the side, or like I can hear people like go, or like I can see them like cheering me on a relay, the second I step on that block, I don't hear anything. It just goes like dead silent. So that's like a really cool, I didn't even realize that happened. So I was like, I should pay attention, because it's so loud, especially during those relays. You get up on the blocks, it just all goes away. And then in a 50, you're not even looking to see if someone's cheering you on. But I think individual events, you kind of need that more. You look for it more because you're out there by yourself. But realize it's like, I got to lock in for this.
What's the training like for swimming? What do you try to do? I mean, people look at certain sports and they think weightlifting. They don't think of swimmers, but you got to get your strength up and cardio, obviously, and some of that. What is the strength training or the training like for swimmers?
Well, we train in the pool 6 days a week, so every day. And then we lift 3 days a week for an hour. Power lifts and certain other kind of strengthening movements are really important for swimmers. So we do like the classic deadlift, muscle snatch, those power lifts. But then we also need to like, we use our main muscles all the time. So then like the little muscles, that's when we tend to get hurt. So if we only train in the water, that's when we see injuries. But then we also condition. We run a lot, abs, stuff like that. We do a little bit of dry land, we call it dry land, before we get in the water every day, so.
It's a lot that goes into it. You also had your team goes on a training trip, typically in the winter, right? Mm-hmm. And you got to go spend some time in Puerto Rico. How's that?
That was amazing. That was an incredible opportunity. I've gone to Miami twice and Puerto Rico once, and Puerto Rico was just so cool. And our motto for the trip was, it's Puerto Rico, you gotta roll with it. So many things like go haywire, but we practice 4 hours a day, every day in Puerto Rico, but it's grueling, but we're like, we're in the sun. It's fun. Like, if we can do it outside, I'm not gonna complain. And we got to go on like a bioluminescent kayak tour and stuff like that. So we got to do fun things while getting our butts kicked.
And you got to compete in a meet at the end. I think it was the end of the trip.
Yes.
It was kind of, I don't know if that was a surprise to the team or if you knew about it going into it, but South Dakota ends up getting thrown into that thing and a chance to compete right away. Was that a good thing after all that training?
We were tired. We were really tired. And what was interesting is there were 11 college teams at that meet. We were the only one that were at the end of our training trip. So everybody's coming in fresh. They're excited to be there. They're excited to race. And we're like, I don't know if I can get out of bed today. But we did it, and we did well for swimming tired. That meet was actually very interesting. Curveball for our trip. They fed every team there. And 11 college teams got food poisoning in Puerto Rico.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that was tough. That was a funny practice the next day. But it was so fun. It, like, the chance to race new teams and a new experience was really fun.
You had a kind of a unique journey to South Dakota. I read that you were homeschooled. You're from Lakeville, Minnesota.
Yes.
Homeschooled. Mm-hmm. Was that always how you kind of came up? How did it end up that you were homeschooled? Was it kind of your choice? Your parents just always wanted to do that? How does that work?
Well, both my parents are teachers, actually. So my brother went to public school until around first grade. So I went to like preschool, kindergarten, those. So technically not the public school, but the lead up to the public school system. And my brother came down one day and was like, well, I'm ready for my last day of school. I was like, it's November. Like, what are you doing? But it wasn't really for him. And then I just kind of came along with him. And we took like classes at co-ops and stuff like that. So we've been in a classroom setting, but I was homeschooled my whole life. And then my junior year of high school, I did PSEO or dual enrollment. I don't know if you know what that is, but in Minnesota, you can take college classes in high school and the state will pay for it. So yeah, I've always been homeschooled and I loved it. And my dad taught biology and anatomy, and my mom taught also biology, English, geography. So like I had two very knowledgeable people homeschooling me. But also it wasn't just like on my parents. I took classes at a co-op or a private school. So I was around other kids and getting that classroom setting, but it was only like once a week.
People probably hear that and say, well, I met a lot of my friends going to classes in school and things like that. And so a little bit unique for you. How did you stay involved with a lot of things or get involved with a lot of things when you're not seeing some of these people in the same classroom every day?
Yeah, I met a lot of my friends through sports. I think that helped me stay connected to other people. I mean, my family's very close, and I think homeschooling's part of how we got that way. But it was cool because you meet these friends in these classes, and when you're homeschooling, it's like, okay, we're learning about Jamestown, Virginia, and stuff like that. I was like, okay, let's go. So, like, it was so cool to have the opportunity to just be like, whatever we're learning about, we get to go see it instead of sit in the classroom and learn about it. But forming those bonds, a lot of them came through sports. So I think swimming has been very important to me. That's a very early age.
Yeah. Well, if you're homeschooled, that means you hold all the school records for swimming. At your,
obviously. Well, I guess my brother took some of them, but
how'd you get involved in swimming into, you know, a level to where you could be recruited at the collegiate level, you know, competing a little bit different maybe?
I started club swimming when I was 8. So I'd been involved in club swimming, and I actually swam for my high school team my freshman and sophomore year, and then also my senior year. So I was around, and swimming recruiting is kind of different because it doesn't matter if you're like homeschooled or public schooled or private schooled. It all goes into one database and you get like a power ranking. So coaches can see your times, your performance, and everything like that. So it's not really specific to where you are. And then, like, if they do come to high school meets or club meets, they saw me there. So I guess swimming isn't really different depending on where you swim. It's just like one big conglomeration of any sort of rankings.
You didn't start your college career at South Dakota.
I did not.
You started at St. Thomas, mm-hmm. and then made your way here.
Yes.
What was kind of that decision? Obviously, you go to St. Thomas for a year and then decide to transfer to South Dakota, a little bit further away from home. Mm-hmm. What went into that decision for you?
I think since my junior year was COVID, that influenced how I ended up at St. Thomas. South Dakota was actually the only recruiting trip I got to take because I took it in the fall of my junior year. And then the spring is when COVID hit. So all of my trips got canceled, and I wasn't even looking at St. Thomas. But I don't think I was ready to leave home. I think COVID really influenced that, but I wanted to be close. I wasn't really ready to leave, and it was their first year D1. It was a super exciting opportunity. My brother swam here, and I realized in about midwinter, I was like, I don't really think this is the fit for me. Obviously, it's in St. Paul. St. Paul and Vermilion are very different locations. Yeah. So that was a little bit of a crazy switch for me. But it just wasn't a fit for me, even though it was harder to leave home. I think it was good. I appreciate so much more at South Dakota after being at St. Thomas. So I think there's little things that I'm like so excited about that I wouldn't otherwise be grateful for.
Was it a transition for you to go? When you go to college, right, a lot of times there's in-person classes. Was that mm-hmm. weird to go transition to after being homeschooled for so long, or are you, like, searching for all the online courses?
It was actually kind of weird because I had 2 years of online college coming into college, so that's how I was able to graduate early. It was weird to have, like, a class schedule routine because typically when I'd go to classes, it was, like, 1 day a week or 2 days a week. It was like, do I really have to be here for 3 hours a week? Like, what are we doing? But it was actually kind of fun because I liked the structure of college classes. College is a lot more like homeschooling than high school is. It's you go to your class and then you have like the rest of the day, the rest of the week to do the homework, to figure it out. So there's a lot more flexibility. So it's a lot more of what I was actually used to than it would have been for sitting in school for 7 hours a day and then coming here and having so much free time. I at least like knew how to navigate myself, but it was definitely weird to be like, I have to go in every day this week. But
some of our fans, if they haven't seen you in the pool, they may have seen you run around on game day at other events. You got involved with mm-hmm. what, athletics marketing,
marketing, creative content.
How'd you get involved in that, and kind of what is your role, I guess, right now on basketball game days?
So I got involved because I actually texted one of my friends, Trevor Sinclair, if you've heard that name. Mm-hmm. He's a kind of crazy swimmer, awesome guy. But I texted him and I wanted to get involved in kind of game day operations, stuff like that. And I actually reached out to Jaron Duffy. And so my junior year, I worked game day operations. So I was really just on cameras or giveaways and stuff like that. And then I graduated early and I was talking to Jaron and he said that I could be his GA. So technically, I'm a graduate assistant in creative content and marketing. So I help with, like, soccer. I write their game scripts and stuff like that. But then basketball, I do the giveaways, the on-field games. I don't know if you were there last week, but I was on the mic. It was a little scary. But for football and stuff, I just help Marcus Destin get around and cue him and find students to play games and stuff like that.
New experience, you get on the mic, things like that. Mm-hmm. You're nervous, probably a little bit.
Yep.
It probably didn't go as bad as it felt like maybe it went. Mm-hmm. Did that ignite, like, hey, let's do this again?
It was kind of fun.
Yeah.
I was like, I hope people don't make fun of me, but the microphone, it was a little sweaty when I was holding it. I'm not going to lie. But I looked up at the camera, I was like, oh, maybe I should have taken my headset off.
Yeah.
But no, I think it was fun, and I'll do it again. I think it's a great opportunity, great practice for public speaking, and it was kind of fun. It's kind of exhilarating.
You're a senior.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do next?
I would love to keep doing something like this, whether it's around here or go to the Twin Cities and work hopefully my way up the ranks of professional sports. So I think that'd be super fun. Marketing and game day entertainment is just something that I really love to do. So
was that something that you always kind of had a drive and interest in doing, or did that kind of develop as you went through here and were looking for something to do?
I've always wanted to work around sports. And when I started college, I was like, oh, maybe physical therapy. And I'm like, I don't want to be responsible for the athletes themselves, but I want to work around sports. So I think starting like my sophomore year of college, I knew that I wanted to work in sports. And that's when I kind of found that I wanted to be in like the communications marketing area.
So if you have your choice, college, pro, what organization would you work for?
Oh, I'd love to work for the Vikings.
Yeah.
That'd be so cool. That'd be awesome. I think I'd totally work in college too. College is super fun and less, a little bit less of a big scale marketing moment. But I think the Vikings would be super cool. And they do so much game day entertainment, creative content. They do a ton of interviews with their guys and stuff like that. They work on a lot of social media. So I think they're already very established. I'd be just like someone squeaking in there to help.
You've been very involved in your time at the University of South Dakota. Mm-hmm. At some point, you'll get this opportunity. You know, you'll be completely done and you'll look back on your time. But as you sit here right now and you look at your time at USD, how do you describe it?
I'm so emotional. It's been an incredible opportunity. I mean, everything I've gotten from USD, they've given me so much, and I hope I've given back. I think it's just, I wouldn't get these opportunities at any other school, and I'm so grateful for everything I've gotten from South Dakota, and especially the university and the people here. And I think I'm taking away some amazing connections and great experience. So I think I'm emotional being done. But it's also exciting to start a new chapter.
Well, keep doing your thing here over the next few months. Make sure you finish strong, and good luck the rest of the swim season. I know a lot of people follow along and love to see what this swim and dive team is doing throughout the course of the year. And you get to go through, I don't know, March a little bit here with the season and stuff like that. So extend that as long as you can. Good luck the rest of the year, and thanks so much for the time.
Thank you so much.
That is Skylar Leverin. She is a swimmer for the University of South Dakota. Certainly appreciate the conversation there, but you can tell she really loves the relays and her time in the pool. And so you could tell, you know, she said she was emotional. I could tell in that conversation, just sitting there across from her, that you could tell that you know, this stop in her life has meant a great deal to her. So we certainly appreciate her time and the conversation. Gabby Wilkie is a freshman basketball player for USD. You've grown to know her a little bit. She's playing a little bit at times in the mismatch position, but can really get the shots going. And she knows that one of the things that we talked about was her confidence. As it continues to grow, she knows that she can continue to be a high-level basketball player at this level and at the University of South Dakota. So this week, I caught up with Gabby Wilkie. Gabby, you look at this season, and I don't know how it feels as a player, but I know for a lot of fans, it feels like these seasons just fly on by. You look at it, we're a month away from the Summit League tournament, all of that. Does it feel like the season flies by?
Yeah, I feel like it was just yesterday where I was like getting so nervous for our first game, and now all of a sudden it's like we're getting ready for the second half of our conference play. So it's gone by really fast. So
what is it like leading up to the season? You got, you know, usually time in the summer, teams get together, and then you start doing some workouts, and then you start really grinding at practice, and I'm sure you're like just waiting for a game, and then it gets here, and it's like, where'd the season go?
Yeah, well, especially this year with the new coaches and stuff, it was, everybody was kind of like unsure of what was going to happen, but it was definitely nice. Like, we have really good leaders, like our upperclassmen, so that made it a lot easier. But then all of a sudden, season just came so quick, and I was like, where did the time go? It was crazy.
What has the year been like for you? A freshman who, you know, you played a little bit in the early stages of the season. Your minutes started to grow a little bit. You've kind of been in and out of the starting lineup. You found a little bit of a role. What has this year been like?
Well, I would say anybody that says freshman year is easy is wrong. Like, it has been definitely had its ups and downs, like, just confidence-wise. So it's been hard, but it's been a good year, like, having great role models. Like I said, our upperclassmen are great, like Grace and Lex and all of them. Like, they've been through that, so they know. But freshman year has definitely been difficult, but confidence-wise and stuff, but trying to make the most out of it.
You keep trying to build that confidence because you get to a level like this because when you were a player in high school, you had that confidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you get it back?
Just getting more reps. Like, I know that I'm good enough, and I just, seeing the ball go in the hoop is like, okay, like, I can do this. It's just a big mental thing that I think is the hardest thing when you're a freshman, is believing that you're good enough and just keep getting those reps and getting in the gym.
You've mentioned a couple of times the upperclassmen and being able to lean on them a little bit. And some of our upperclassmen have been through three different head coaches and they've stayed at South Dakota. What have you been able to take from them that you can apply to your time as a freshman, in college, all of that?
Yeah, I would say all of our upperclassmen bring, like, a different thing to the table. Like, Grace started as a freshman, and, like, she kind of just has been helping me through, like, freshman year isn't easy, but it's going to get easier, and just, like, keeping your head high. And they've all just, like, encouraged me to, like, things aren't going to go easy, but you need to, like, keep shooting, keep having confidence, because they always just, like, emphasize that we believe in you. So that's been a big thing, just, like, them having the most confidence in me. And just kind of them emphasizing that in the beginning of the year especially, it was like, this season's going to have its ups and downs, but at the end of the day, like you have to believe in yourself. And, yeah, so that's kind of been a big thing, is just them having confidence in me.
Going from high school to Division I, what has been the biggest adjustment for you?
I would say the people I play with. In high school, like, I played with good players, but coming to South Dakota, like, I played with good players in high school, and now I'm playing with, like, really good players. Like, it's just, and I'm playing against really good players every single game. In high school, it's like, not necessarily that I took a game off, but it's like, I didn't have to always guard, like, the best player. Now I have to guard a girl that is either usually bigger than me because I have to guard the five, but is also, like, people are better than on the court. So it's just, in high school, I kind of most of the time was the best player, and now I have to come ready every single game and just prove myself.
What was your eye-opening moment of, like, wow, this is college basketball?
I would say I have two, I think. My first one was in the summer. We had to do these, like, it was like group workouts. And I had to, there was three people. It was me, Grace, and Cass. And I played offense against Cass and defense against Grace. In my first workout, Cass blocked me every single time, and then Grace scored on me every single time. And I was like, okay. And, like, it was so hard, and because I had not been, like, really used to, like, someone being able to block me. And it was just kind of like, Grace is like, it's going to get easier. And then my first, like, game moment was definitely the first game I got in, and it was like, I turned it over right away. And it was just like, okay, here we go. But it's definitely, as time progressed, has gotten easier. So, but those were definitely my two biggest eye-opening experiences when I came to college.
Gabby Wilkie today, Gabby Wilkie last summer, how different is the basketball player?
I would say the biggest difference is my strength. Like, I've always been able to, like, shoot it, but I've never, like, really emphasized in the weight room. I think that's the biggest thing anyone will say as, like, a senior in high school to a freshman in college. And also, like, outside of basketball, like, I'd say I'm more, like, not necessarily, like, a leader, but, like, if things go wrong, I can be like, okay, like, I got this. So I think just the strength-wise and then being able to believe in myself and just, yeah.
You know, people get into college and the workouts probably a little bit different than they were in high school, and you probably do a little bit more film watching. Maybe you did film watching in high school. How much different is that aspect of it, trying to understand watching film, understanding it, whether it's self-scout or watching the opponent to try to figure out tendencies so that you can play at your best?
Mm-hmm. I would say in high school, it was very much like most high school teams, like, they had like one good player, so you just had to scout them, and then the other ones are like, oh, like, but here, like, especially we switch a lot, so we have to know every single person, scout, know what they do. So that's been a big adjustment, because like in high school everyone says that they watch film, but then you get here and you're like, if you don't know someone's scout, you're like, you're gonna just get scored on right away. So that's probably been the biggest adjustment. And like offensively, like, you don't just watch film on like your opponents, you watch film on like what you can improve. Like, you don't just have your parents telling you to do better. Like, you watch film on offense, like, to what you can improve and how to score off of these teams. So
you came to South Dakota from Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. What was your recruiting process like that eventually led you to starting your career here?
Yeah, so I committed early. I committed, like, going into my sophomore year. I had had, like, other offers, but because I committed to Kayla, who she was at Wisconsin before, and she's like, just come visit South Dakota. I was like, you're joking. And she's like, no, like, and she's like, what do you do? And I was like, what do you do here? And she's like, go to Walmart. So I was like, okay, I'm going to give this a chance, but like, there's no way. So my first visit, I came to a football game, came to a volleyball game, and like tailgate and stuff. And I was like, this is where I want to be. Like, just like the culture here, the fans, like, it's just, you don't, there's nothing really like a small town. Like, everybody supports women's basketball here. It was just, like, really cool. And then I came again on my second visit, and it was, like, a basketball game. And I'm like, Dad, I want to commit. Like, I knew right away. And my mom and dad were like, whoa, like, you are too young. Like, and I was like, I just know. And then I committed, and the rest is history. It was just, the culture is a big thing. Like, the team, they just all get along. Like, being a freshman, some people are like seniorities, and like, but I can't tell that I'm like, some of my best friends are seniors. And I think that's something that is really the difference of like what makes South Dakota truly special.
You committed to a coach, that coach leaves, a new coach comes in. Mm-hmm. What is that process like for you of finding all of this out, making your own decisions, and, you know, that commitment that you had for years, still mm-hmm. sticking with it and coming to South Dakota?
Yeah, I wish I could say it was easy. Like, it was definitely hard. I definitely had, like, second, like, thoughts and stuff. But especially Kayla went to Green Bay, which is closer to my home. But then it was, like, Grace had called me, and she's like, before you make a decision, like, I just want to talk to you. And she just basically said, like, did you commit to the coach or did you commit to the college? And, like, after thinking a while, I was like, I had called Kayla and said, like, I'm going to stay here, even before we found out who the coach was. And I just, at the end of the day, I was like, I committed to, like, the team and, like, the community and the college. So I kind of knew, probably wasn't the smartest decision to commit before, like, to decide of my commitment before I knew the coaches, but I had known that South Dakota was the place for me and that I wanted to stay.
That's special in, you know, today's type of world of college athletics, where there's a lot of moving parts all of the time, mm-hmm. right? To stay with that commitment, feel like it's the right spot. Now that you've lived it for a little less than a year, but you've lived it for a while, has that cemented anything for you on this commitment that you had at partway through your high school career?
Yeah, I mean, I really couldn't have seen, like, I don't regret anything. Like, I think I never really second-guessed myself. Like, yeah, I was like, it was scary. Change is scary. But I never was like, I should not have stayed at South Dakota. Like, I should have gone. Like, I never thought that. So, yeah, it was like a, it was scary, but I'm glad I stayed.
For you to take that next step in your basketball career, you've talked about confidence. That's mm-hmm. probably number one. Mm-hmm. What else do you have to get better at individually to keep helping this team, whether that is, you know, through the next month of the season, whether it is next year, the year after that? What do you feel like you have to keep working on and firming up a little bit?
Yeah. Well, my offense will come with my confidence, but I would say, like, defensively, especially, like, being a freshman and guarding a five, it's really just humbling, to say the least. Like, everyone's stronger than you. Everyone's bigger than you. So I would say just getting, like, becoming stronger. And then, like, mental, like, being mental. Like, you can always get mentally stronger. And, like, coming, like, becoming a leader would be a big thing.
Right now it's all about basketball, right? You're deep into the season. What do you do when you're not playing basketball?
Well, right now during basketball, it's pretty much basketball, school, sleep. But I don't know. I would say I'm really close to my roommates and a bunch of my teammates, so we all hang around each other a lot. And then, I don't know, pretty much just hang out with other athletes. Not sure. Usually, like, in the summer, I'll go outside, go to, like, the pool and stuff, but not right now. It's a little too cold for that. But hang around a lot of my friends and stuff is pretty much all I do outside of basketball.
Mentioned you're from Wisconsin. We got other players from other states and mm-hmm. other areas, so you've probably been able to learn a little bit about them and where they grew up.
Yes.
Have you visited anywhere interesting that's tied to one of your teammates or learned anything about them that you're like maybe didn't realize before?
Well, my four roommates, Hannah's from Oklahoma, and then Ava and Vicky are from Minnesota, Illinois. So Minnesota and Illinois, I was like, I knew about, like, I'd gone there. Oklahoma's probably definitely been one where I'm just like, okay, like, what? It was just, and especially going to ORU, it was just like a whole different world down there. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. And Hannah committed, we went on our official visit together because we committed early. And our first official visit, like, our official visit, we were, like, our dialect. And, like, it was just, like, some of the things she said, I was, like, okay, no way do you say it like that. So it was just, like, getting used to, like, the different, like, how we talk compared to Hannah.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, so that's probably been the biggest one. But other than that, everyone else is kind of, like, from the Midwest. And I would say most of us have, like, the same, like, it's pretty much the same. But Oklahoma's definitely been the biggest, like, eye-open, like, wow, that is a little crazy.
But at least you got to visit Oklahoma already.
Yes, so yes, check that off my bucket list.
When, you know, you go, obviously, to a college, it's more than basketball. You've talked about school and mm-hmm. getting your sleep so you can do school and basketball. Mm-hmm. What are you studying? What do you hope to do someday whenever basketball, however many years that might be, whenever basketball comes to an end, what do you hope to do?
My major is early education. So, well, after college, I hope to play basketball for as long as possible. And then I want to be a college coach. But I also, like, I want to be, if I don't go down that path, I want to be, like, a second grade teacher, just, like, working with kids. And I really enjoy working with kids. So, yeah.
Why a teacher and a coach? Where's that inspiration or interest come from?
My dad and mom coached me growing up, and then my mom's a teacher and she's a coach. So I kind of always, like, looked up to her, and I always, a big thing, especially coming from a smaller town, is, like, giving back. So I think just giving back to other people besides myself has just always been a thing that, like, has been big.
Have you thought about, you know, where you might want to be a teacher at? Is it back home? Is it Oklahoma now that you know about that?
No, I still got time to think about that, but I have not really thought about that yet. But
You look at this season, and obviously it's been a learning curve, right? A new coaching staff, and there's been some ups and downs. Learning curve for you. You're a freshman, and you're trying to figure some things out. There's been some good in this season, and you look at it. What do you really like about this group and this team and the opportunity that this team has over the next month?
I think just the biggest thing is you look at the beginning of the year compared to now, and it's just like how much growth. Like, in the beginning of the year, it was a little, like, shaky. Like, we were in games, but we were still losing. And now it's, like, some games we're still losing, but it's, like, we look more put together. And I think the biggest thing is, like, how this team has handled, like, adversity. Like, nobody comes into practice and be, like, that was horrible, like, and comes in, like, a bad mood. Like, we're, like, we need to get better. We know we need to get better. And I think everybody's just on board with that. So I think that's the biggest thing. Like, we've gone through adversity, and everybody's just willing. We all want to win, obviously. And that just, it just shows.
Well, I know a lot of people are excited to see how the next month of the season goes, and then on to the Summit League tournament. I know you'll be excited for your first conference tournament as well. Gabby, good luck the rest of the season.
Thanks
so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you so much.
That is Gabby Wilkie. She is a freshman basketball player for the University of South Dakota from Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, taking the time to join us, talk about her journey, and really excited to see how her career continues to unfold. She's a player that, you know, we have seen, maybe didn't see as many minutes early in the season, but then we saw that her minutes grow, and we've seen spurts of what she can be, and really excited to see what she can do. Time now to take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics, starting with women's basketball. They're in Kansas City on Thursday night. It's the final game of the double round robin for the first time through, and then, of course, you'll see all the teams for a second time. Friday, track and field heads to Manhattan, Kansas. They're in the DeLoss Dodds Invitational. They'll compete on Friday and Saturday. Also on Friday, swimming and diving heads to Sioux Falls to the Midco Aquatic Center. It's the Coyote Invite. They will host that starting Friday evening. It'll also run throughout the day on Saturday as well. Women's tennis this weekend is in Bozeman, Montana. They will compete on Saturday at 11 a.m. against Utah State, and then on Sunday at 11 a.m. against the host Montana State. Women's basketball is back at home in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center on Saturday afternoon, a 2 o'clock tip time between South Dakota and North Dakota. So those two teams will be back at it on Saturday. And then looking ahead to next week, the Coyote women's basketball team is back home for a game on Thursday before they head on the road. And the men's team will be on the road for two next week at Denver and Oral Roberts. So lots of stuff going on in Coyote athletics. To stay up to date with all the scheduling, the results, the stories, all of it, make sure you check out GoYotes.com. That's also where you can find all of your ticket information. I hope you can catch a game, match, meet, or meet very, very soon. And thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Yotecast podcast. Big thanks to Gabby Wilkie, Skylar Leverance for joining the podcast this week, talking about their time at the University of South Dakota. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a tremendous weekend. Until next time, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.